I invite you to open in your Bibles to the book of Psalm 37. Psalm 37, I ask that you stand out of respect to the Word of God as we read just a few verses here, beginning with verse number 1.
A wonderful passage of Scripture, so much we can learn from this. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Father, we're so grateful for this passage of Scripture, and there's so many things here for us to learn. We could spend a long time here, but Lord, as we consider just a few simple thoughts this morning, we ask that you would bless us. May your Holy Spirit help us to understand that which you have for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We're focusing in on the fourth verse in this chapter when God commands us to delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But that first phrase is where we're focusing. We began this focus last week, just simply delight thyself in the Lord. Now, yesterday afternoon, Billy, Guy, and myself were delighted. We watched a football game. We didn't see any scarlet and gray on the field. We saw a lot of blue and a lot of yellow. And we were absolutely delighted. If you happen to miss the game of the week, Michigan playing Michigan State, and they have a Paul Bunyan trophy, and they've got about a 3-foot-tall, looks like a wooden sculpture of Paul Bunyan. That's what they play for. But there's more to it these days, because the winning team brags all year that they are Big Brother, and the losing team used to be Little Brother, but they changed it a few years ago to Little Sister. And so this, for the next year, Michigan State University is Little Sister. And you know they hate every minute of that. But they made a good point on the during the broadcast yesterday that, you know, the majority of these football teams are from the state of Michigan, these players, and so they grew up playing each other all year long in school and the other areas, and so it's a real grudge match, almost as big as the Michigan-Ohio State. But anyway, we were delighted at the way that game turned out, 44-10. We spotted them 7 off the beginning, and then we decided, you know, we better get down to business. And we outscored them 44-3 from that point forward, and we just absolutely dominated them. So we were delighted, man. We were so happy. We were thrilled. We're talking about being delighted. Now, God doesn't tell us to delight ourselves in football. Now, I know this team from this state also played yesterday, and I don't know what the final score was. I saw them doing pretty well there for a little while, but I assume they did all right. I'm just going to keep moving along and just drop it at that. Because you know what I want to say, and I am trying so hard to bite my tongue. But anyway, we're talking about delighting. God doesn't tell us to delight in football. Now, there's nothing wrong with delighting in sports, or football in particular. There's nothing wrong with delighting in many things. Unfortunately, and it's kind of hinted at in this passage of Scripture, there are men and women in our world that delight in wrong things. You know, there've been a lot of politicking to get marijuana or drugs legalized in our nation, and there's two different reasons why people are pushing that. One is people want to use it for their own personal pleasure, and two, other people want to profit off of the ruining of other people's lives. And so it's all about self, and they delight in either money, or they delight in having their mind blown. I was reading about three judges. I don't know if you heard about this week. Three judges in Indiana were at a convention. I don't know if they're originally from Indiana or not, but they had a convention for judges, and apparently they all got squashed. And two of them got in a fight. And the third one that didn't get in a fight can't remember what happened. Has absolutely no memory of the whole event. And they call that fun. And all the drinking I did, there's only one night that I couldn't remember everything I did. They told me I fell down steps and everything, and I don't have any recollection of it. And that was fun. I kind of like remembering the fun moments I had in my life. And I told you about one fun memory, one of the funnest things I ever did in my life, or funniest things, last week. Not necessarily the nicest thing I ever did, but one of the funniest things I ever did. And, I like to delight in things I can remember. And so the world is looking to delight in all these things that aren't necessarily good things, and they seem to be prospering, and they seem to be enjoying what's going on in their lives, and seem to be satisfied with what's happening, but God tells the Christian, don't worry about them. Don't fret yourself over what they're going through. Don't fret yourself at the joy they seem to experience, because they know nothing of joy. The world, at best, can experience happiness, but they can never experience joy. Because joy only comes when one's mind is settled on the fact that heaven is our home. Understanding that everything in this world is transient, that it's here today and it's gone tomorrow, including our lives. In James chapter 4, he tells us our life is nothing more than a vapor. And that it'll be gone before you know it. And so we need to be careful what we delight in. And what he's telling us here is, delight thyself also in the Lord. And so we began looking at this last week. Last week we talked about delighting more in God than in sin. This morning I want to move it a little bit further to delight more in God than in self. Delight more in God than in self. Now most people are pretty satisfied with themselves, what they've become or who they are becoming. Or, young people a lot of times like to consider the future and think all the possibilities and potential that they have. And they do have all that. Unfortunately, too many settle for less and turn their back on God and make a shipwreck of their lives. But we think pretty positively about ourselves, for the most part. And there's really nothing wrong with that, but when self becomes the center of our universe, so much so that we delight in self, then there's a problem. Because God says we're not to delight in ourselves, but rather we're to delight ourselves in the Lord. Now, how does this apply? Well, let's look at some scripture verses. Turn over, and these are just familiar ones. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I just have three ways to delight more in God than in self this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now these are easy words to read, easy concepts to grasp, but very difficult commands to put into practice. But it all involves in delighting more in God than delighting in self. Because he tells us that we're to be nothing more than a sacrifice. Now, what is a sacrifice? And I believe that Paul's mind was centered on the Levitical law, or the temple worship, where the offerer or the worshiper would bring an animal to the temple, and that animal would be slain and it would be laid on the altar and offered to God. And what God is telling us here in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, is we're to be that animal that is presented to God, slain, and laid on the altar. Now let's just pretend we're talking about a sheep. A sheep is laying there on the altar. Now, what do sheep like in life? It almost wasn't even a rhetorical question, because I don't know much about sheep. But I picture sheep grazing around, feeding in a meadow somewhere. I assume they eat grass. That's what sheep like. But now think about the sheep on the altar. Is that sheep saying, man, I wish I was in a meadow somewhere eating some grass. Or I wish I was somewhere getting a nice cool drink of water. That sheep on the altar is not thinking those thoughts. In fact, that sheep on the altar is not thinking any thoughts about self because it's dead. It's impossible for it to think any longer. And God compares you to that sheep on the altar where we ought not be thinking back on, and man, I wish I was here, or I wish I was doing that, or this is what I really want, instead of being placed in service for God. You see, service is one of those areas where we show God and show to ourselves and show to those around us in this world that we delight more in God than we do in ourselves. Because we're willing to become that sheep on the altar as God has commanded us here in obedience to His Word of Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. That sheep doesn't have any say in what's going to happen to it. It's led to the temple, it's presented to God, its throat was cut, the blood was drained, the life left that beast, and it was placed before God. So the question to us becomes, how have we served God today? How have we served God this week? How have we served God this month? What have we done for Him? Now, we can't all be preachers. It'd be kind of weird preaching to a congregation of open chairs with nobody in a seat. And so God calls some to be preachers. God calls some to be Sunday school teachers. God calls some to work in the nursery. God calls some to do different tasks in a local church. But we aren't all doing everything in the church building. We're called to do different things. But the question is, what thing is it that God has called you to do? Is it to witness to your neighbor? Is it to witness to your family? Is it to give a gospel tract out? Is it to have a ministry of prayer? Because, boy, we need that. That is so important. How have you served God today? Have you? Maybe I should back up the boat a little bit. Have you served God today? Have you served God this week? Have you served God this month? Or have you lived strictly for self? Now, I know we're all good people here, and sometimes we live for other people, especially parents probably live more, or if you're a caregiver, live more for other people than for self. And you kind of are grasping that concept of not putting ourselves at the center of the universe, because we realize there are those that are more important than us who depend on us. But you know, God, even though He doesn't depend on us, in a sense does depend on us. Because He, though He could come to this earth, as He did when Jesus was here, and He could preach to the multitudes, and He could do all the things He wants done in this world, He has chosen to use you and me. And He limits Himself to us. And if there is any human being willing to be the sacrifice, then God's work just won't get done. And so we have multitudes dying and going to hell who have never heard the gospel message. Because God calls into service missionaries. And so many say, no. I can make more money if I just work a job, and I'll give to missions, but don't ask me to go. And there's a lot of people who say that. I remember the president of the Bible college that I attended, and he was pastor of the church, said that when he was in Bible college, there was a helicopter factory that hired a lot of the seminary students. And a lot of those seminary students liked the money. And so they never went into the ministry. I remember one of the fellows instrumental in me getting saved went to Bible college and seminary and had a pretty decent job, worked himself into management. But he was felt God was calling him to be a pastor. His last name was Castor. This is honest truth. And I always teased him that he was going to be Pastor Castor. And I always got my giggles over that. But it's his name. You can't do anything about that. But you know what? He never did get into the ministry. You see, there are those that God says, put yourself on the altar of sacrifice. Put God first. But sometimes We're not willing to do that. And it's not always in full-time ministry. Sometimes it's just to teach a Sunday school class or to tell someone else about Christ or be that testimony at work that God wants us to be, and we're not willing to do it because we'll be embarrassed or we just don't feel comfortable. What we're doing is we're putting ourselves first. God says, delight thyself also in the Lord more than in self. Another area where we have an issue with this, look over in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 2. This ought to be another familiar verse to you where God tells us, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Why is it so hard to read through the Scriptures every year? Why is it so difficult to read the Word of God every day? Why is that such a hard thing for us to do? When you look at reading through the Bible from Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, all the way through the last amen in Revelation chapter 22, verse number 21, in order to do that in a year's time, it only takes 15 to 20 minutes a day. Now, I just assigned last week, and I've mentioned this before, or 2 weeks ago in the Bible Institute, that I, as a homework assignment, they have to track how many minutes they spend doing certain tasks, like eating, like in the bathroom, everything you do in the bathroom, which includes getting dressed. How much time they spend on watching television or reading a newspaper or a book. Just write it down. Keep a track of it for a week. And then also track how much time you spend in God's Word and in prayer. And every time I assign it, I get nothing but groans because it sounds like so much work, and it is a lot of work to keep track of that, even for a week. But when the assignment's all done, everybody is so glad that they've had that assignment assigned to them. I haven't had anyone complain when it was all done. I had a lot of grateful faces because we think we're so busy doing these things for God, and we, in reality, are spending all our time on ourselves. But what God wants us to do is delight more in Him than on self. And reading the Scriptures is one of those areas that we neglect so often. And we do it because we're delighting in self, taking care of self, or pleasing self, or doing something to develop self, but leaving apart the spiritual aspect of our lives. I had five babies. I didn't have five babies. Amy had them all. Praise the Lord for that. But we had five children. I understand the newborn desiring the milk. They don't care what time of day it is or night. They don't care how busy you are. They don't care how many people are around. They're just going to let her rip. When they're hungry, they holler because they want to be fed, and they want to be fed right now. God says that should be your attitude when it comes to the Word of God. Why isn't it? Because so often we delight in self, and God's Word gets pushed aside, and it gets to the point where we don't love His Word like we ought to, and we don't hunger for His Word like we ought to, because we've learned to be satisfied with worldly, carnal things. 4 chapters a day. You'll get through the Word of God every year. We're almost coming up on another year. You still got another about 6 weeks to finish up. If you're way behind, man, you better get plowing. You can still get it done. But then the new year will start. And I just got the order form this week for more Bible reading schedules for next year. And I'll be ordering some of those and get them here by the end of the year so that you can have them and just check off the box. 2 in the Old Testament, 2 chapters in the Old Testament, 1 of from Proverbs and Psalms, the books of poetry, and a Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes are in there as well, and then 1 chapter from the New Testament. That's all it is. Won't take you more than 15 or 20 minutes unless you're sleeping. I've had those days too, so I understand. Sometimes it takes a little longer. But you can do it. Delight thyself also in the Lord, more than in self. A third area where this is an issue is also in 1 Peter, but back at chapter verse number 16 of chapter 1. For me, it's just right across the page. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16. We've seen that we need to delight in God in the area of service more than self. We need to delight in God more in the area of scriptures than in self, but also in the area of sanctification. Because it is written, this is verse number 16 of 1 Peter 1, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And this is something that God repeats on several occasions in His Word. Why is that? Why does God repeat things? Because we have trouble grasping it. Because we need it repeated. Because we haven't learned it yet. And the old joke goes that the new preacher was called to pastor the church, and he got up and preached a great message on faith. And someone was just telling, I don't remember who was telling me this just this past week, but preached a great message on faith. And the people were just enthused. I know it was a great message on faith. And they were excited. They went through the line. They were congratulating him and patting him on the back. And boy, they were looking forward to the second Sunday. Well, he gets up the second Sunday and he preached exactly the same message on faith. I mean, word for word, illustration for illustration. And they were scratching their heads, but it was a good message. They still enjoyed it even the second time around. They weren't quite as enthusiastic on the way out, but that happened the third week. Same message. The enthusiasm now is completely wiped out, and now they're really wondering, did we make the right choice? Fourth week, same message. And then they're beside themselves. They're going to the deacon saying, look, you guys need to talk to him. He's preached the same message 4 weeks in a row. And so one of the deacons who was assigned the task talks to the pastor, says, Pastor, that's a great message. Everybody just loves it. But don't you have another message? Hey, 4 weeks in a row, don't you think that's quite enough? The pastor simply said, when you get that one right, I'll move on to the next one. But just a humorous way to state an obvious truth. God repeats things that we have difficulty grasping and applying in our lives. And holiness is one of those areas. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. If we take the name of Christian upon us, it's because we are Christ-like. At least we're supposed to be, but we have so many today that take the name of Christian upon them that have absolutely no resemblance in their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet they brag about their spirituality and they brag about how close they have a walk with God, and they absolutely know nothing of holiness, and they are lying through their teeth because they don't have any understanding of what a walk with God is about. The problem is that they don't delight themselves also in the Lord, but they're delighting themselves in themselves. And the things that this world has to offer, and they're just indulging because they're putting themselves before God. Three simple areas, and we could list many more in this one topic of delighting ourselves more in God than in self. Service, scriptures, sanctification. How have you been doing? I've got another point on this, but we're going to be done. The third point was delight ourselves also in God more than in, I just said I'm done, but I'm going to read it anyway, than in sleep. You know, one of those areas where we delight too much in sleep is church. Get up for Sunday school. Stay up for Sunday evening. Gear up for Wednesday. And then another area, delighting more in God than in sleep, is in the area of prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us to be watching in prayer. So often we snooze through our prayers. God wants us to be alert so that we know when God answers prayer and we can render Him the thanks due His holy name. Have you been delighting in God? If you have, your life will show it. Is He more important than the things in your life, even more so than yourself? If you delight in God, that will be the case. And it's really not so bad. Doesn't He promise in Psalm 37 that if we do, He'll give us the desires of our heart? That sounds like a good payoff. But so often we lack the desires of our heart because we're not delighting in Him. So this morning, let me challenge you. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Bless it to our hearts. Father, help us to make good decisions that will honor and glorify You during the time of invitation. Father, if You've spoken to a need in our lives, Father, may we address it. Father, if You have placed a burden upon our heart, may we bring that before Your throne of grace. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.